With this confluence of dates, of the fall of the Jewish New Year and of Ramadan, there's an opportunity with a common theme that runs through each of them, and that is the theme of reflection and of turning and of change. In this wild and violent and often contentious and, as Patrick also points out, beautiful world, we have dangers, we have opportunities, there is so much heat, so much anger, often so little communication. But one of the things that almost all of our great faiths and systems of wisdom teach us is that communication begins by knowing who we are. And almost every great faith asks us to stop for a moment from our busy, ordinary, everyday lives of running around, of shopping, of making a living, of getting all excited about the things that get us all excited on a daily basis, to go off of automatic pilot and slow down and stop, listen to the birds, listen to the sounds of our own hearts beating in the middle of the night, listen to our thoughts and listen to our own best evaluations of ourselves and of our lives, and ask ourselves some deep and important questions. Am I leading the life that I want to live, or am I on automatic pilot? Am I going through life just one step at a time without enjoying the steps, so drowned out by the noise and the pain and the cries that we retreat from them into our own world, or so engaged that we are busy acting and not thinking and feeling? Most religions don't ask us to pick either or, but to know ourselves and to know our insides, and to use that energy and that knowledge to engage the world, to change the world. Very often in both religious and psychological systems, people talk about fatal alternatives. T.S. Eliot, a birthright Unitarian who then got religion, wrote in The Cocktail Party, "I would like to think that there's something wrong with me, because if there isn't, then there's something wrong with the world. And that would be much worse. That would be terrible. So I'd rather think that there was something wrong with me that could be set aright." It isn't either self or world. The idea that we have to be perfect to engage the world and to want to change it and heal it is false. The idea that we have to have a perfect world to make us perfect and worthy is also false. We are involved in a relationship with each other, and we are the world to each other. We do not live in isolation, but neither do we live without a sense of who we are at the deeper, if not the deepest, level. Many of the 12-step programs ask people to begin by looking at their lives with a frank and fearless inventory of what it is that we're doing, what it is that we value. Our great faith traditions do the same thing. In Judaism, Rosh Hashanah, the head of the new year, begins a period of 10 days of introspection and of contemplation and of repair. It's a time for turning away from those things that are not genuine in us and turning towards our own values and our own best selves. And it's very important that when we look at those targets that we've missed, those places where we have found ourselves wanting, that we not just go, "Oh, I am so guilty, I am so miserable, I am so terrible," and we just pick up a huge burden of sin to schlep around for the rest of the year, if not the rest of our lives. It's important as we turn towards ourselves that we also, in recognizing our failures, that we turn away from them, having recognized them and using them for inspiration, and leaving them in our past and not taking them as a crushing burden that gets in the way of our saying yes to the new day and yes to each other. All of our faith traditions ask us to do that. In Christianity, there's the Lenten period of contemplation and of sacrifice where we should go inward to examine where we are. And in Islam, there is Ramadan. Ramadan that celebrates the revelation of the Quran to the Prophet Muhammad. And he sat in a cave. And in that cave, the angel Gabriel came to him and said,
"Read."
And Muhammad, who was unlettered, said, "But I cannot read." And the angel said,
"Read."
And Muhammad said, "You're not listening." That may not have been his exact voice. But he said, "You're not listening. I told you I can't read." And Gabriel said, "With God, all things are possible. Read." And he read and recited, "Bismillah ar-Rahmani ar-Rahim, Alhamdulillahi ar-Rahmani ar-Rahim, Maliki al-Dini." Praise be God, merciful and compassionate. Praise be to God, the creator of the world and the creator of the day of judgment. In Ramadan, Muslims are asked to fast. It's a daylight fast for 40 days. So it's daylight. You don't have to not eat for 40 days. This would be kind of a terminal diet. So that what you do is, as long as the sun is up, as long as you can distinguish a white cord from a black cord, you're not supposed to have food, water, or sex. And so these are times of contemplation where you are kind of alone with your thoughts and your urges and your desires. And you have an opportunity to meet yourself, to understand yourself. It also has a redeeming social value of asking people to feel hunger. To feel hunger so that we might have a sense of compassion and connection to the hungry people in the world, and a sense of connection to the larger community, to know that it is not enough for us to feed ourselves, but that we have brothers and sisters out there, and we need not simply abstractly to understand their pain, but to feel their pain and their hunger. Religions often ask us to fast at the end of the Jewish 10 days of awe with Yom Kippur. There is a fast. And that fast is basically a 24-hour fast. There are all different ways that, you know, they all work. Whether you're doing the zone or whether you're doing the South Beach or the Atkins, all of these fasts work to concentrate our attentions on what we are feeling somatically and psychologically. Religions probably invented the whole idea of binge purge. Of celebrations with lots of food and then crashing blood sugar and celebrations with no food at all. And they're both valid and they have different reasons. And I'm going to refer to Patrick a couple of times today, they do what it is that we do in life, which is they remind us of the great banquet that life can offer us at some times, and also the great deprivation that we feel at some times, physically and spiritually. And we're supposed to be able to acknowledge those things as being real in our life and not just turn blinders on and say, life is all beautiful, we're all going to do Candide and it's the best of all possible worlds, or life is just terrible and tragic and filled with anger and death. It's all true. And we're called upon to engage with life. During the festival of Rosh Hashanah, the days of awe, people are asked to go inside and think about values. People are asked to examine those places where we have missed our target, which is the literal translation of sin. It is like an archer. It is missing the target, and sometimes it's having the wrong target. But it's not enough simply to say, oi, 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 I feel guilty. Oi, 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 I feel terrible. You actually have to make amends and repair. Repentance in Judaism is turning. Repentance in Islam is turning and returning to ourselves. Repentance in the Christian tradition, metanoia, is getting literally a new mind, but it really in our imagery, it's getting ourselves a new and a fresh heart. And you don't do it simply by asking a power out there for forgiveness. Pardon me, Jack, I'm going to use you mercilessly. If I steal Jack's cane and just disappear with it, and I'm really tempted to do, we've got trouble right here in River City, but if I steal Jack's cane and 3 months later I feel terrible about it and I feel guilty and I fall on my knees in front of the altar and I say, God, forgive me for stealing Jack's cane. In the theology of Judaism, God cannot forgive me. I have to make amends. I have to heal that part of my heart that stole the cane. I have to go to Jack and return and compensate and apologize. It is not enough to repent. Repentance is incomplete without repair. And as we examine ourselves and our lives, understand that as a very strong image. Repentance is incomplete without repair. People often have trouble with the idea of some kind of sacramental forgiving of sins, because the idea is, so you go out, you sin, you do something bad, you go, you confess it, you throw it away into the water, you do whatever it is you can to get rid of it, but then you go out and do the same thing the next day. That's not repentance. Repentance has the necessary aspect of getting it, of repairing the tear in the fabric of our own personalities, in the fabric of our own soul, and repairing the fabric of society that we have rent either through abuse or denial, turning away from those who are hungry and homeless and in pain. It isn't enough to feel bad. We have to be engaged in active repair and healing of ourselves and of our world. And again, it's not an either or. I'm going to fix myself for 3 months and then I'm going to go out and fix the world. We're involved in a feedback loop with each other. And that's very important in Judaism, in Christianity, and in Islam. Compassion and understanding are only the beginning. Where the rubber hits the road in both Judaism and Islam is in the same word. Tzedakah in Hebrew and tzedakah in Arabic. You sometimes see it written as zakat. It's a different form of the same word. But it's the same idea. It is the responsibility of righteousness that we have to each other. It is the sense that you can have your prayers in the beginning. You can have those things that inspire us, whatever gods or prophets or writers or sages who inform our minds and stimulate us, but we must be stimulated to actually to do something. It's not enough to feel good, and it's not enough to feel bad. We have to find the strength to feel connected one to another. There's so much that our great faiths share in common. From the name of God, Elohim in Hebrew, the singular form is Eloah, which then becomes Allah, to our words for peace, to our sense that repentance is turning away from our errors and turning towards ourselves, and finding the strength then inside to turn towards each other, to find healing and to make healing, to build bridges not of sand, but bridges of real action and real activities. The world is often a very troubling place, and if we're not troubled, we're not paying attention. But it is not so large that we can sit out this particular incarnation. It is not so large and so terrible that we have to run from it into a life of pure contemplation, or run from ourselves into a life of manic involvement and activity. There is a connection, a synergy, where ourselves find expression and connection through our hearts, through our hands, to the hands of others. And that we know that we share a life together, a planet together, and if we do it right, we share a future together. There is on this tiny planet, this shrinking planet, no salvation that is separate from those of the faiths of our sisters and brothers in all lands and of all faiths. And I don't want to offend anybody who's waiting to get raptured, but most of us here are going to have to deal with life with each other. And to understand that on this lifeboat Earth, in this world that we share, whatever other worlds there may be, this is one where we need to understand that we are in the same boat with all of our sisters and brothers. And that we will not have a different fate from Europe or Asia or Australia or Africa or Latin America. Whatever thems we create, those us good guys and them bad guys, we are going to share a fate with them. And if we don't share it directly in our generation, our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren will. There's no separate salvation for Muslims, for Christians, for Jews, for earth-based religions, for Shinto, for Buddhists, not even for Manichaeans. We share it all together. So in the words of the poet John Donne, don't send for whom the bell tolls. It tolls for all of us. Hunger, homelessness, AIDS, all of these things are part of a world that we share with all the other human beings on this planet. The issues of air to breathe and water that is safe to drink are issues that involve people from the wealthiest suburbs to the smallest villages to nomads in the middle of the desert. We have to understand that Earth is one, and those differences that we have of religion, of politics, of style, of fashion, of sexuality, of that thing that we call race, of that thing that we understand as ethnicity, all of those can either enrich us or we can use them to poison us. They are either bridges that make our shared humanity more interesting, or they are drawbridges that we raise to keep others out. And we cannot keep others out. Whether it's right or wrong isn't even the issue, although I believe it's wrong. It's the practicality of it. We will not have a faith separate from our sisters and brothers of all faiths, of all people, of all continents. Now that makes it seem so big and so scary and so complex that maybe we want to shrink from it. But what we do each day is to try to find something that makes a difference. Something that leads to a kind of healing. That bridges are not built overnight. They do not appear magically. Let me tell you a story. When I was living in North Africa, there were some beautiful mosques and beautiful homes that had beautiful domes, and I never understood how they created those domes. And there were a couple of builders who also didn't understand. And they were building a fair not far from where I lived that was supposed to have a beautiful dome. And it had a beautiful dome for a moment or two, and then it crashed down. And then they built it again, and it stayed up a little longer, and then it crashed down. And then they brought somebody in who actually knew something, and they built it, and it stayed. We don't build these domes easily. Sometimes they crash down and we're discouraged. Sometimes they crash down and it's a tragedy. Sometimes they crash down and we laugh. All of those are responses to our efforts when they go awry. But we have to stay engaged in the building of domes, in the building of bridges, in the building of understanding of ourselves, of each other, and this beautiful world that we share with one another.